Our infirmary is packed with the ill and suffering. I fear this abbey has become a pest hole. Abbess Germaine and her council have reached a bitter decision. If we are to survive, we must leave Loamhedge. It is almost unthinkable, is it not? Having to forsake our beautiful old home to wander in the wilderness. Germaine speaks of travelling to Mossflower country, where she has friends who will give us shelter. We are to take very little with us and live off the land as we go. These are hard and sad times indeed. However, there is no other way for it. Poor Sister Amyl is a young mouse who has never walked. She makes her way about in a wheelchair. Amyl has decided not to go with us. I pleaded with her, saying that I would care for her and push the chair to wherever we were bound, but she would not hear of it. Amyl said that the journey would be far too arduous and feared that she would hold us back. In a way, she is right, since a wheelchair cannot be hauled over hill and dale. There would be bad weather to contend with, rivers, swollen streams, rocks, and swampland. Also, it will soon be wintertide. The abbess does not know of Amyl's decision yet. It is my sad duty to tell her of the situation. Young Sister Amyl is such a good creature. It will break my heart to leave her at Loamhedge amid the dying.
Torn interrupted the narration by sniffing loudly and grubbing a paw across his moist eyes.
Poor little thing, left to die in a deserted abbey. We'd never leave ye to a fate like that, Martha, no matter what it took.
Bragoon grasped the hermaid's paw.
Me either, miss.
Martha forestalled sorrow and the rest by holding up a paw.
I know you wouldn't, none of you.
She caught sight of old Fred, glaring about impatiently.
Oops, sorry, sir. We'll be quiet, I promise.
The gatekeeper huffed, then leafed on to another marked page.
Oh, thank you. Now, let me read further into this narrative. Here is a section by Recorder Scritum concerning setting up camp on the first evening of the journey. Let me tell you of a miracle. Can I believe my eyes? You must take what I tell you as true. I have always been a faithful recorder, never given to lying. Here was I, trudging along, carrying my writing equipment and a sack of provisions. We were heading for a stream bank with high sides where there would be shelter for the brothers and sisters. I was travelling somewhere in the centre of the column, not having seen the abbess, as she was leading up at the front. I came away from Loamhedge, filled with shame and remorse, being too overcome with grief to bid Sister Amyl farewell. I slunk off like a thief. Then, from the rear of the marchers, a mighty cheer rose up. I trekked back to see what was causing such jubilation. There, across the heathland, limping slowly, but walking without any shadow of a doubt, came young Sister Amyl.
Again, Fred's recital was interrupted when a hearty cheer came from his listeners. The old hedgehog made as if to slam the book shut.
Do you want to hear the rest of this? Or shall I lay back on my bed and go to sleep? Hey, hey!
Somewhat embarrassed, Abbot Carroll replied,
"Forgive us, friend, we'll stay silent. It was just that we felt so happy for Sister Amyl. We had to cheer."
Fred went back to his book, muttering,
"Aye, so did I when I first read it. Allow me to continue. Was it a miracle, or some sort of magic? I had told the abbess of Amyl's plight. She was sorrowful, of course, but informed me she would have a word with Amyl. What came of their conversation, I did not know. But here was my young friend, as large as life, and up on her footpaws. Later that evening, we sat by the fire. exhausted after the day's long march. Sister Amy wrapped in her cloak, sleeping deeply. I take the journey. Obviously,